Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
This episode of The Morning Stream is brought to you by Blue Chew. We've got a special deal for our listeners. Try Blue Chew free when you use our promo code TMS at checkout. Just pay $5 shipping. That's BlueChew.com, promo code TMS to receive your first month free. Coming up on TMS, how many days since a Fury Road mention? Zero, always zero.
Sheena Hulkstein.
Tiger-based magicians.
Does Kung Fu count as a superpower?
Who has the most Wheaties box experience?
Card flickers and gum slappers.
Don Cheadle and his weird English accent.
Pull down sock faces.
It's garbage. You should see it.
Fu Manchu Part 2.
Wedding snatchers.
I smell like a woman. Woo!
Nerds of the greatest caliber.
Coming to a consensus with jury and more on this episode of The Morning Stream.
Well, if I leave the game, I'm taking a pot with me. In a square game, I'd have won it. Duke, take your hands off that money.
Tim, don't act loco. You go reaching for your gun and...
Don't give up hope.
The Morning Stream. It's Totes Fast.
Hey, everybody, welcome to the show. It is The Morning Stream, TMS, for Tuesday, April 27th, 2021. I'm Scott. He's Brian. Hi, Brian.
Hello, Scott. God, we're just barreling towards the end of another month.
I don't like it. No, sir, I don't. I don't like it.
I don't like it either, although April was a really schedule-heavy month for me, yeah. You know, with all the things that I have written down on my calendar for the month of April.
Yeah.
May is a little bit lighter, but I have a trip, and...
The triumphant return of Vegas for you.
That's right. After nearly 2 years.
Yep. You're going to go striding in there with big wads of cash and... posse.
I'm expecting. Here's what I'm visualizing. Right. Yeah. So I get off the plane, and there's a kind of tunnel of people.
Yeah.
Representing all of Las Vegas. So it'll be showgirls with their big feathery hats and stuff.
Yep.
It'll be Wayne Newton. It'll be a couple tiger based magicians. And they're all going to be like clapping as I walk down the jetway as I come back into Vegas.
Tiger-based magicians. If that's not on the, if please submit that as title, because that's fantastic.
I will admit that that's a phrase that came from 500 by Midnight. Tiger-based magicians.
Still pretty great. So you're gonna burst onto the McLaren scene there.
Be right. Everybody just a tunnel of people plotting all the different pit bosses, dealers.
Oh man, throwing chips
croupier,
at you.
Croupier yep. with his stick.
Yep.
His
croupier stick. All of it. Every stereotype you can think
Hookers?
Of.
Oh, maybe some meth people.
Yeah. Oh, and some people walking behind you with little cards going flick 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 flick.
Yeah,
as you
the
go.
Flick card flick. Flickers. Yeah. Right. Right. Yeah.
Porn, some gum. There'll be gum. Little pieces of gum thrown out on the floor in front of you, just like the streets.
That's right. Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, if it's not that, I'm going to be sorely disappointed.
Yeah, it's going to be a rough May. Rough May if none of this comes true. But May's a new month. For me, April's mostly been like trying to just keep up with this Kickstarter. But it's almost over. We're like 7 days away, and by the end of the month, very beginning of next month, we'll be hot to trot to fulfill that damn thing. So.
Yeah.
Pretty exciting.
It's very exciting.
Yeah, it's all going good. So the only thing that isn't going good is yesterday after the show, I said this during the show, I was feeling really just kind of off. I slept terrible. I don't know if it was the weather or if I just was like just cranky, kind of headache and just kind of just felt like crap. And we got the show done. It was fine. We had a good time yesterday. Mm-hmm. Great show.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The show ends. I get it all posted. I go upstairs and I think, all right, I've got this huge to-do list today. I should get on that. And then my other brain said, but look at that couch over there.
Yeah.
That looks comfy. Why don't you just lay there for a minute? And why don't you have the dog with you or something? And then you can just chill out on that couch for a little bit. And maybe that would be the better idea. And then you can get up and do all your giant list. And so I did that. I laid down on that couch and I slept till 2:30 in the afternoon.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
You obviously needed it. Holy cow.
I clearly needed it. I never do that. So that was like, it was like, it must have been an imperative, you know, it just had to happen.
Yeah.
And then I was behind on everything and still didn't get caught up. But that's how my day went. So me and the couch. But I'll say it was worth it because you know what? Today I feel freaking great today.
See, that's the thing. And you'll catch up and your, you know, clients or whatever projects you had, they'll all understand. It's totally fine, right?
Yeah, I'll catch up. It'll be fine.
Yeah.
I had nothing that was like deadline, gonna die if I don't do it yesterday. So
that's good.
Sometimes you gotta take care of your damn self and take a minute. But I hear you had a similar.
Yeah, well, we just had an evening. So I was exhausted yesterday too. I think it was just, you know, waking up at 4:30, not being able to go back to sleep myself. And so we watched a movie that I'm going to use for recommendals. And then we started watching some episodes of Made for Love, which was Nicole's recommendal last week. And it is, it's really, really good. It is very funny.
That's good to hear. I wrote it down and was hoping that it was as good as
Christine
she said.
Christine Milotti is just wonderful. She's just wonderful. Yeah. She can do no wrong for me.
I like her.
How I met your mother. Yeah. Anyway, around about 9 o'clock, I'm fading out, like to the point where I'm struggling to keep my eyes open. I'm doing it. I'm like, you know, keeping my eyes open, but it's a struggle. We get through another episode. It's like 9:35, and I'm like, I'm done, Tina. I'm just going to bed.
Yeah.
And so I go and I climb in bed, crash. She comes in a few minutes later, and I'm awoken.
Uh-oh.
At 10:15,
yeah,
just a mere 40 minutes later, whatever it is, with the alarm going off, the house alarm going off, which means that our power went out, which also might explain the router situation.
Oh, right. Okay, so no, so you have an alarm set to go.
We have a.
Yeah, explain how that works.
We have an alarm that, like an ADT alarm, that. Is tied up to our windows, doors, notifies us if there's a breaking glass sound in certain rooms, then we get notified. Or if the windows get opened when the alarm is set, then we get notified. But the problem is that whenever there's a power outage, it goes off for like a couple seconds, like a roar, 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 like a really freaking loud.
It's to get you up, right? It's to get you up.
It's just to, I don't even know if it's on purpose, like, oh, we got to notify that there was a power outage, or if it's just, our hardware is weird. When there's a power outage, when it comes back on, our hardware just makes that alarm sound. But regardless, it went off. And just as I had like finally dozed off and I was deep in the REMs, I was in the middle of losing my religion. That thing goes off. And then
it was the end of the world.
Hard as hell time getting back to sleep.
Oh, I'll bet. Yeah. Once you get shocked awake like that, what are you supposed to do?
Exactly. So, didn't fall asleep until 11:30. And,
I hate that.
Still, I slept in later. I mean, I quote unquote slept in till 5:45. So, I mean, it was a lot better than yesterday, but good Lord.
Slept
I mean,
in can I not catch a break?
I know, right?
Oh,
isn't that sad?
Rebel,
like 5:45 is sleep is what I consider sleeping in these days.
Such a rebel, Brian, with that late sleep
good
in
Lord.
Hour.
Yeah, and, you know, I never hear my alarm because I'm always awake half an hour beforehand. So
yeah, no kidding.
Believe me, Zoe, for 5:45 shouldn't be sleeping in, but it is.
That's true. Some in the chat are confused about why the alarm system would be tied to a power outage. And the answer is easy. Like, have you not ever seen a movie where they break into the house and they cut the the power?
I mean, the first thing they do is cut the power. Yeah, to turn off the alarm.
They're outside with their little, you know, their pull down sock faces with the machine, the cutters going chip, chip, snip. And that's what happens.
When Don Cheadle in his weird English accent sets off the EMP just outside, just off the strip, it's to kill the power to all the hotels.
Dang straight. By the way, this reminds me, my recommendal this week, I'm so excited to talk about it.
Oh, are you? Is it a documentary?
No, it's a movie I paid to see because I know. Usually I'm just like, I'll wait for streaming. But this one just kept beckoning me. I won't tell you what it was, except probably people will figure it out because I put up a tweet yesterday about it. But I liked it a lot.
Having a hard time resisting talking about what we watched last night because I loved it so much. And here's the weird switcheroo, Scott.
Yeah.
Mine is a documentary.
Whoa! I watched a movie that I paid for? And you streamed a documentary? What is going on?
Did you and I make a wish on like an old artifact and switch bodies or something?
We did.
That certainly feels like what happened.
Where it's the magic tiki in the freaking Brady Bunch episode.
That's right. Exactly.
Weird. Yes. All right. Well, we'll find out tomorrow what we've chosen for.
TVZ on, it's not more, I don't think it's Mortal Kombat because that he would get with his HBO subscription and not pay extra for it.
Correct. That's already, and I did see that and really enjoyed it. Let me tell you two things about it. I'm not going to recommend it.
Give me two things because this is one I'm going to have to watch without Tina. She has, I can maybe get her to watch Godzilla versus Kong, and there's just a couple days left to do that.
Yeah. Yeah. She's no way.
But I'm not
going
to get her to watch Mortal Kombat.
Yeah. I'm surprised I got Kim to sit there with me and do it. but let me say this about it. It is total trash. Okay. It's a garbage movie, but absolutely see it. Like, it's fun. It's a video game movie. And I will say, I think in some ways better than that 90s one everyone holds so dear. Of course,
that's a low bar.
It's a very low bar, but it's a trillion times better than Annihilation. So there's that. It has an actual decent CG budget. So there's some really cool effects and stuff. It's rated R as it should be. So there's lots of blood and gore, and that's good. Do you want that in a Mortal Kombat movie? There are a couple of really great characters. It's just, I'm not going to sit here and tell anyone that's a good movie. It's not by the measurement of good movie. You know, but is it a good trash movie? 100% it's a good trash movie. It's a great
No Christopher Lambert, though, right? No Christopher
Lambert. No, hell no. In fact, the guy they have is Raiden is terrible. He's a terrible Raiden. But there's lots of other, Kano steals the movie. Fan-freaking-tastic. Kano's, it's worth seeing that movie for Kano alone, and I'm not kidding when I say that. He's legit funny and really elevates the material. The fights are fun. The choreography for that stuff is good. I'm not saying this isn't a negative for me. I want movies like this to exist, but I'm not going to sit here and tell you that it's good by some measurement of good. It's trash.
We're just coming off of Oscar season, right? So we've been doing nothing but watching really good high quality movies, Nomadland, Promising Young Woman, The Father, stuff like that. Now it's time for a little popcorn.
Yeah.
Popcorn.
Yeah, get out some popcorn and get her done. But Kano's a high point. Jax was could have been cool but was lame. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't know. Did I regret it at all? Not at all. I had a great time. And I'm laughing, and the minute someone says, "Get over here," I'm poking Kim going, "Oh my gosh, that's so cheesy. This is so great." Like, I'm reveling in it for what it's supposed to be. And in my mind, they succeeded. It's fine. It's what it is.
Cool.
But don't go in there thinking you're going to get, next level. Like the difference between, say, the original Mad Max and Fury Road. It's a pretty stark difference. Isn't that kind of difference. It's
I cannot keep this sign up to date that says how many days since the last Mad Max Fury Road reference.
And the chat.
Erase it again. Get the pen, write a new number 0. Just had to change it 0 on there.
Right. LC Knight says, would I watch it again? I'd watch it again for Film Sack, 100%.
You know what? We should do that for patrons. We should make a... We'll talk about Film Sack patrons and Mortal Kombat. But that's something we should make for patrons, is one of those wipe off signs that says, how many days since last Fury Road mention?
That's a great idea. Oh, yeah. Speaking of which.
Yeah.
The movie I'm going to recommend tomorrow has a moment of wiping one of those signs off. So it's funny.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And it's really well done. Like, usually in a movie, I'm like, that joke has been done 1,000 times.
Yeah.
It's always, pull down the old number, put up a 1 or a 0. Ha ha ha. The way this was done, chef's kiss. It was great.
So you watched an episode of The Simpsons where that happens in the opening credits. That's what you're going to tell us.
That's what I'm going to tell you tomorrow. I'm rewatching The Simpsons, and I fooled you this whole time into thinking it was a movie.
I bet that's right too. Ooh, I can't wait to hear about this, because this is one I want to spend money to see. If I See You is correct in the chat, guessing what it is.
Yeah, there you go. Also, TVZ Gone, for some reason, wrote Jeff's Kiss, and I just like that for some reason.
what does Jeff's Kiss look like if it's not the chef's kiss?
I don't know, but I like it somehow. Whoa. It's very odd. All right. Also, we got a quick email here from a listener. This is from Cody. We'll stay in films here for a second. He says, "Dear podcast wizards, you're a wizard, Ibbit. Did you know that? You're a wizard?"
I'm a wizard. Good. Oh, good to know.
All right. So it says this. So I saw the trailer for Shang-Chi and have literally no clue who he is. I also know you two are nerds of the greatest caliber. I wonder if you all could do some info on Shang-Chi, mostly because I love listening to you guys, says Cody. Well, yeah. Cody.
This would have been a great Steven Schleicher.
Great. We just got it. So I don't know if he's in there today, if he's in live. He listens every day, but I don't know if he's in.
He does, yeah. If you're in live, raise your hand, Steven, and we'll pull you in.
Yeah, we'll pull you in for this. But it's an interesting character, because Brian and I will both fully admit we hadn't heard of him either until Marvel announced it was part of the lineup.
I'd heard of him.
Oh, you had heard of him? Okay.
I'm a Marvel guy from... I even have some old Shang-Chi comics from the 70s.
Gotcha.
But that's it. That's like...
Right. When they announced the movie, that's the length of your knowledge. You knew there were comics, you had some stuff.
Just like, okay, yeah, the martial arts guy from the 70s that Marvel created to kind of capitalize on the popularity of karate and stuff like that at the time.
Right.
Like you said, until recently, he's kind of made a resurgence and has had like a appearance in some of the stuff that I have been reading separately, right? Like the Spider Island thing, Battle World.
Oh, right. He was in the House of X stuff, I want to say.
Probably. Maybe. Yeah. Probably.
I know I read something, and I just cannot remember the series I read recently. I may have been that new Venom series. I can't remember, but he's in some of that. So,
if you would have asked me, I would have said, "Oh yeah, that was a character that was in the Marvel in the 70s, and you know they forgot about him and never did anything with him after that."
Yeah, but like, apparently, definitely a thing of the 70s. Like, he's of that era, and in fact, I'll tell you right here. It says the character was conceived in the late 72. So Brian and I were all 2 years old when this happened.
Yeah.
Marvel had wished to acquire the rights to the Kung Fu television series, but were denied permission by the show's owner, Warner Communications, owner of Marvel's primary rival, DC. Instead, Marvel acquired the comic book rights to Sax Rohmer's pulp villain, Dr. Fu Manchu. Boy, I'm glad that didn't work out very well. Anyway, they developed the character Shang-Chi, a master of Kung Fu, who was introduced as a previously unknown son of Fu Manchu. The original character himself, many of Shang-Chi's supporting characters, most notably Fu Manchu, Dr. Dennis Nayland Smith, who cares about these, were Rohmer creations. No characters from the Kung Fu television series were ever included in the comic series, though the character Lu Sun is in an early issue bears a strong resemblance to Chang Kang, who is, I guess, the main character in that show. Anyway. It was all just to grab onto the Bruce Lee wave and the whole we're all like
Enter
awesome
the dragon and all that stuff. Yeah.
Right. So his powers, let's see. So it's
none. He's good at karate.
He's just really good at karate. Basically. He has beaten numerous superhuman human opponents. So
for example,
let's see, I've got some examples.
He beat Ares, God of War, and one time member of the Avengers.
Oh, that's right. Oh, that's on here. Yep. He also beat, let's see, for a while he acquired some of Spider-Man's powers and abilities, I guess.
That was part of that Spider Island thing.
That was that thing you were talking about? Okay.
Caught the spider virus.
Got it.
Spider virus. There's no cure for the spider virus.
He was briefly at the Pym particles he used to increase his size. Basically, he was a nunchuck or Apache chief.
Well, or, you know, Goliath, giant man, sure.
Yeah. I thought he had something to do with the Mandarin. I don't know why I thought that.
He does. He will now. Like his they're pulling the Mandarin in as the character, obviously, the big bad for the Shang-Chi movie.
Yeah.
And it won't be Trevor Slattery.
Yeah, no, it will not be.
I have a speedboat.
You'll never see me coming.
Right, exactly. But it'll be kind of their way of saying, yeah, here's the real Mandarin that we introduced, or that we kind of hinted at with the stinger from Iron Man 3.
Yeah.
And we don't have to mention Fu Manchu.
No, doesn't have to come up. Doesn't even have to come up. Yeah.
He was part of that Marvel Knights kind of resurgence that happened in the 90s too, with all the heroes for hire, Jessica Jones, Iron Fist, Luke Cage.
It wasn't that stuff was a little darker, right? The Knights stuff was
Marvel Knights, yeah.
Yeah, I wish totally they did more of that. They don't have any of that or Max, like we talked about Monday with Steven. Mm-hmm. None of that's on. I went and double checked, as we talked about yesterday. None of that's on Unlimited, and it pisses me off. It's like, they
really?
Be
I'm
so
surprised. Wow.
I think that's just a Disney thing. It's like, we got to be all pure for everybody. And
you think, or are you just looking? I mean, are you looking? Well, I mean, obviously, you're looking for Max, which
I
wonder
if
it's just
there.
Not if it's just not searchable under Marvel Knights or Max.
Oh, possibly. Maybe I need to look title per title or something.
Yeah, I think look title for title. Look for Heroes for Hire, because that was actually a really good Marvel Knights series that had all of those Netflix characters, as well as, like you said, Colleen Wing, Shang-Chi.
There you go. Well, basically, his thing is really, really good at martial arts. That's his power. Like, really good.
Don't let that dissuade you from seeing the movie, because you know, if you would have heard the description of Guardians of the Galaxy on paper before you saw that movie, you would have been like, oh, really? a tree and a raccoon joining forces with a
It's good that you all went into the Guardians kind of blind, honestly.
Yes. Exactly.
Because that's
the same with Eternals and all that stuff.
Oh, I'm so excited about what's her name doing that movie. I'm so excited.
Chloe Zhao. Yeah.
Yeah. Although, what if it just turns out they're wandering around the desert talking to real people?
Oh, there's Cersei pooping in a bucket again. All right.
I'm disposed. I'll say.
Don't you see the flag on the outside of our.
You guys got to watch that. Nomadland's good. It's
real good.
So good. All right.
What do we got? What do we have? Is all the Phase 4 stuff? Let's see. MCU Phase 4. What do we have?
Supposed to be kicked off.
Locked
with,
in.
Was supposed to be kicked off with Black Widow, right?
Black Widow, right?
That was the beginning of that.
I'm just looking for, you know, is this one an updated deal? No, because if it were, Multiverse of Madness would be coming out in a week. Oh,
here it is. I found it.
Did you find a current one?
This is current. So July 9th, 2021, Black Widow.
Yep.
Shang-Chi and the Legend of the Ten Rings, September 3rd, 2021.
Okay.
Eternals, November 5th, 2021.
Okay.
Oh, that's this year?
That's this year, yeah. Eternals is this year.
That's actually exciting. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Spider-Man No Way Home with Sony, December 17th, 2021.
Oh, good. Okay.
Thor, Love and Thunder, February 11th, 2022, which doesn't feel that far off now.
No, it really doesn't.
And then Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness, March 25th, 2022. So that's the current. That's the entirety of Phase. Well, that's what they're calling Phase 4 on this list. I don't know if that's everything, but I think so. And then TV stuff is WandaVision, Winter Soldier, Loki, the What If series, Hawkeye, Miss Marvel, Moon Knight, and She-Hulk, all of which
between now and
2022. Invasion. Yeah.
Oh, that's great.
You know I'm actually looking forward to She-Hulk, because I was turned around on that. I don't know who wrote the series. I'd give him credit if I could. But I read this not long ago, this short series. And it mostly focused on, well, not mostly, but, you know, it did focus in on that she's this lawyer and she's hard-working smart lady, and it was just less about, oh my gosh, it's like the Hulk but a lady. What, you know, they didn't really lean in that way, and I really liked it.
And she retains her intelligence with the and her, basically she's like Smart Hulk Ruffalo at the during Endgame.
Yeah
all the time.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's real good. So I hope is she savage now, JC Calhoun?
Oh, maybe
asked.
She's savage now.
Maybe. I mean, that's temporary. It's comics. They change stuff all the time.
Yeah.
She'll be, if she's savage now, hey, she won't be at some point. So
that's right. And Tatiana Maslany from Orphan Black is the one who's playing her for that.
Oh. Can she get all buff or will that be CG? How is that going to go?
Probably be CG. I don't know. It's probably going to be, you know, they'll do it the same way they do Ruffalo, where elements of her features will be part of the CGI strong version of her.
Yeah. You know? That Ruffalo stuff toward the end, like when he's smart,
so well.
It was so good. It was seamless. Yeah. So if they can do that again.
I remember how excited we were when we, like in the first Hulk movie, or the first MCU Hulk movie, not the Edward Norton. I mean, that was okay.
Technically that was the MCU, right? Like it was.
Yeah, MCU. No, that was MCU, not the Eric Bana.
Right. That one is not.
But the first Ruffalo. That must have been the first Avengers movie, right? Where we first had Ruffalo as Hulk. Yep. And they pulled elements of Ruffalo's face into the Hulk. And I remember how excited we were about that. Yep. Like, oh my God, like you can actually see Ruffalo's features in the in the Hulk.
It was impressive. You know what else is weird is in less than a year, that movie's 10 years old.
Wow. The Ruffalo, the Avengers is?
Yeah, because that was 2012, right? Do I have that right? I think so.
That sounds about right. Jeez Louise.
That's pretty weird. A very exciting pick of her in this role. Let's see here.
Oh, really? I thought that was just like her on set.
It is just her sitting around.
Okay.
Thanks, JC Calhoun. That's
sarcasm.
Great.
Very exciting pick of Tatiana Maslany. Yeah.
Well done. You interrupted the show for a fake.
Wow. She really, really views the character.
Yeah.
She looks like
me on the weekend. She's just chilling. Spoiler, she's just chilling with a pair of glasses on.
Why can't I remember She-Hulk's real name? What the hell?
Sheena Hulk.
Sheena Hulkstein.
Hulkstein.
Jennifer Walters. Okay, that's why I was saying it's not Jennifer Walters, because I'm thinking of Jessica Walters, who just passed away. It's definitely not Jennifer Walters. And then
you're totally right. I think Jessica what did we just call her? Sheena Hulkstein.
Sheena Hulkstein.
Yeah, that should stick. That should stick.
Yeah, that should stick. Sheena Hulkstein.
Yeah, I like it a lot. All right. Yeah. Well, we've done all we can do for your Shang-Chi information. We hope that helped, exactly. Cody. If you have questions like Cody, be like Cody and send an email to themorningstream@gmail.com. All right. Time for the news. It's time for the morning news, and it's brought to you by
America's Next Top Podcaster. If you are on the free feed today, you are enjoying, because they're slowly rolling out, the episodes that you actually heard right here on TMS. We had each of the remaining contestants on as a guest, because as easy as you might think it is to be a guest on somebody else's podcast, there's a lot of things you need to try to do. You need to try and match the vibe of the show. You need to pay attention to and banter with the hosts, all while still figuring out a good clean way to promote whatever it is you're promoting. Sure. And we had our five contestants on to do that very thing. You're going to hear how they did. And one of them is going to get the axe at the end of the week. Boom, out of the contest.
A boot.
It's America's Next Top Podcaster.com. Search for it anywhere you get your podcasts.
A boot straight to the anus that person got. Straight to the anus.
Yeah.
I don't actually remember who left that week. I shouldn't say. I'm sure it was somebody very nice.
It was somebody very nice. Yeah. Exactly.
That neither had a boot nor an anus. Don't worry about it.
Well, they certainly had an anus.
They probably have an anus. We all have an anus, right? I mean, some people have had theirs removed, and maybe there was a birth defect for some where the anus isn't quite right. But for I think most of us have just a straight up anus.
That's true. And Bobby Franks reminds me. That's right. Only the live listeners did get to hear those appearances on TMS. So a majority of you who just get the podcast did not. So this is all going to be brand new content for you.
Oh, now I remember who left. And also I remember why the person who didn't leave did so well. I remember a couple of people really showed their, they were awesome on here.
Yes.
That was a fun, yes. That was a really fun thing.
Some people were able to fit with us like they'd been a part of this show for years.
Yeah, I agree with that. Here, enjoy this.
This is your anus.
Okay, there's your anus.
You anus.
Are you anus? If there's a pig anus, he'll lick it. Okay.
Lieutenant Anus.
What happened to your anus is a useful thing indeed.
Oh, yeah. The one that I always thought was third eagle.
Oh my gosh, I don't have that.
What?
How is that not in here? I bet that was from my old that hard drive wreck of 2012 or whatever.
Oh man, what a bummer.
I know. That's all right. It's a bummer for an anus. Bummer. Get it?
It's a bummer.
Yeah. All right.
Bummer.
Here's your top story today here in the news. A company hiring full-time marijuana vaporizer tester is offering $42,000 a year if you want to just, you know, test pot vapor all day. Vaped.com, one of the largest global vaporizer websites, has a job opening for full-time marijuana vaporizer tester. As our business grows, they say, the founder no longer has time to do full reviews of every product.
I just don't have the time to smoke pot anymore for my job.
That's right. He says, we need help, according to the job description. Each vaporizer sold on the website is tested and analyzed before being advertised on the website. The description continues, for those who land the job, it won't be as simple as testing the vapor or the vapes and sending it back with a green check mark. Testers also need to analyze the functionality of the product, such as size, vapor production, and temperature. It's a lot of work. It's a lot of work.
Yeah. Now, here's where they're going to get you.
Okay.
The vending machine in the break room sells Cheetos, but they're like $5 a bag.
Oh my god.
So that's where they're gonna get their money back,
right? Because they'll sell every damn bag.
Exactly. It's like, all right, well, we're gonna pay them, but here's where we're gonna get our money back.
I think you're right. Let's see, they got to keep track of battery life, how clean it is, and how easy it is to maintain. They must be tested and compared to similar ones in order for avid consumers to make informed decisions when purchasing. They'll also be allowed to give their own personal opinions of the product. Well, I would hope so. All of these factors will be compiled into a video that accompanies a write-up and a photo of the vaporizer according to the description. So, if any of you out there are super stoked, you can find more at vaped.com.
If you want to be super stoked to be super stoned, this is the job for you.
You want to be stoked and toked, give it a shot.
There you go. There you go.
All right. Moving on from that story. I mean, I don't know, $42,000 a year for just smoking is probably pretty good.
There's a lot of people who are doing it right now for free who don't have anything else going on. So
they're just sitting around, nothing else to do, doing it for free. Get paid, yo. Get paid.
Like, I do like their description, though, kind of clears it up. Whatever KTV news, TVU news comes from.
Yeah.
For those who land the job, it won't be as simple as testing the vaporizer and sending it back with a green check mark. And I'm sure there's like a bunch of people saying, all right, I'm out.
Yep, I'm out. If that's not all there is, forget it. I can't keep track of anything else. You lost half your applicants right there.
Exactly. They're probably right at the beginning reading this. Oh man, I'm just going to have to take a vaporizer, put a green check mark on it, and send it back.
I bought that green pen and everything. Well, it's not like pot grows on trees. Oh wait, it kind of does. No, it grows
kind
on.
Of does.
Oh wait, I thought of that before I saw that hydro panicked. I didn't see your thing. I promise I didn't steal it. He just barely typed it grows on trees.
No, I saw it. You said it before. I saw it before. Said it before it popped up there.
That
so.
Was just real. That was happenstance and very nice happenstance, by the way. We're brothers now. You just don't know it.
That's right. That's right. OKTVU is Oakland.
Oh, Michael. That's Oakland? Okay.
Oh, and Jury just left. Just when this great job sprung up.
I assume you could do this on your, you know, kind of in your own schedule. Like you wouldn't have to be at a desk 8-9 to 5, right? You could.
No, I don't think. Yeah, I don't think you'd have to drive to work.
So Jury
drive
could
to an office
and probably not want you to drive. So
like,
yeah, Jury.
Hey Bob. Yeah, sorry. How you doing? Yeah, good. I'll love to sit and chat, but I've got to go to my office and smoke pot for the next 8 hours.
We were born in the wrong decade. All right, Here's a fun story that's close to my heart because I used to do this, and I've said it on the show before, so this isn't like I'm admitting to this for the first time. I have regrets of some of my youth, but not as much as some people I know, so I don't feel that bad about it. Anyway, okay. I used to go to wedding receptions on Friday nights with my friends, pretend like we were invited, and sneak out of there with gifts that were supposed to be for the couple. All right? That's
that
what we used to
horrible.
Do.
I can't believe horrible. You did this.
Yeah, it was bad.
You're a monster.
So like three or four of us would go, I won't use their names, and we would go to like a reception
one of
center.
Them, one of them was named Soup, though. Probably.
Yeah, one of them, definitely that was one of those guys was Soup. No, he was later. He would have been out of high school. But anyway, this is all during high school. So we'd go to like a, you know, we're 16, 17 years old. We'd go to a reception and we'd walk in, and the first one we'd walk in, we wouldn't have a gift because okay. it's the first one we walked into. But we would walk in and nobody checks anything. Nobody asks. We're dressed up on purpose and we go through all the stuff. We eat all their food is the main thing. That's the main reason we do is we eat the food that's part of the, you know, the buffet, the catering, whatever.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
then we go through the line, and the big joke was to go through the line and act like we knew them. So it'd be like, oh, I've not seen you since whatever, whatever. And they just kind of go, oh, yeah. Kind of a Seinfeld moment of like, you have to pretend
like
this is.
Of course,
like,
well, we got to keep the line moving. B, we don't want to piss off any of the people who maybe flew here to be part of this. So, yeah,
exactly. So we did this. And then the point of it was to not just stop there. You'd get through the line. And then on your way out, you would kife, as we'd say, one of the gifts. Uh-huh. Okay. So there'd be a pile of gifts usually. This was the tradition at the time. I don't know if they still do.
Yeah.
But you just grab one, hopefully nobody sees you do it, and then you walk out of there. And you don't even know what's in it, and you don't actually care because it's not about the gift. Because now what you do is you hop in the car and you go to the next place, and people get married left and right.
The next Holiday Inn, the next Sheraton.
Yeah, they get married everywhere. Like, they're just all over the place. There's a million just wedding reception dedicated buildings all over downtown. So we go to the next one. And we walk in, and now we have a gift. So we go, boink, put it in the pile. And then we do the rigmarole of eating all their food and going through their line and pretending like we know them. And then we usually did three a night. And then we'd leave, take another gift, not the one we brought, but a different one. Leave, go to the third one, drop that gift off into the new pile, do the same pattern again. So the point was, by the end of the night, we had eaten really good. And we had our, you know, our fun little troll moment of making them think they know us, but they don't. But mainly what we did is we left gifts at different weddings that when they opened them, it would say, Dear Bill and
Dear
Sheila.
Sally and Mike. Yeah.
Yeah. Right. Which is not them and would completely F with their brains about who gave them this and why is it here.
Would
love
you,
that.
Would you consider... probably not, because it's like returning to the scene of a crime. But after the last wedding, going back to the first one with the gift you stole from the last wedding.
Oh, that's a great idea just to finish things out. That's what we should have done. We never
did
that.
You're walking back in and they're like, look, there's the guys that Tommy saw walking off with one of your presents.
Yeah, so there was that risk. Plus, there, you know, we'd already had their food.
Might be done by. Yeah, right. Could be done by then.
Yeah.
Et cetera,
plus going through the line. You know, you wouldn't do the line again because that'd be weird. But anyway, it was a thing we used to do, but I don't do it now. All right. So judge me for my youth and whatever, but we were kind
of. Man, I mean, we used to go holodoming, but we wouldn't
Wait, what's what's holodoming? Tell me about
holodoming
this.
Holodoming is so you take a boombox and swimwear and a towel.
Yeah.
And you go and not being a guest of the Holiday Inn with the Holodome swimming pool and hot tub area, you just show up with all your stuff and act like you're a guest there and hang out in the Holodome.
That's great.
It's you know, compared to yours, it's like stealing a ballpoint pen versus driving off with a Maserati. Well, maybe not a Maserati, but
yeah, it's a little bit
certainly a nice sensible car.
Yeah, I mean, the thing we always justified in our brains was we didn't steal. We ended up not, you know, in the end, nothing was taken. We never didn't take anything home. So no gifts were truly stolen.
So you wouldn't take one from the last.
No, the last wedding just got an extra gift, basically, never lost anything. It's really the middle guy who got the true swap of a one for one.
Right.
And the original wedding is the one that really got hosed.
They got hosed.
They got nothing. or they
I
just
hope it wasn't something they were really looking forward to.
And there were a couple of times where the first wedding had really lousy selection of gifts, and if you grabbed one, you'd know. So we'd have to do, it'd be like the second or third one that night before we'd get one or whatever. So it wasn't always good, but yeah.
I imagine size, gift size has to be an issue, right? You have to pick something you can easily sneak out, so you're not taking a KitchenAid mixer. It's probably going to be like, you know, fancy clock or something.
Yeah, or some kind of like fondue.
Some decorative candles.
Fondue forks with your names on them. Or,
Oh, which is even worse. Yeah. Customized fondue forks.
And I'm sure there was some of that. Some of these things had to have been like customized, whatever. Because these are not people who are just using the registry. These are people who are like, I bought a gift. It's a specific gift and I'm bringing it to your wedding. And, you know, Claire asked in the chat, well, wouldn't you report these things missing? You don't know they are.
Yeah,
they don't know. They just said like, oh, it's a big pile. I mean,
you'd probably say, oh, you know, Sheila comes back and says, hey, did you like that that set of napkin holders I gave you, the engraved napkin holders? Yeah. Oh, yeah. I don't remember ever getting those. Or they say, oh, yes, we love them. Your thank you card is on the way.
Yep. I mean, I remember at our wedding, we got regifted. Somebody gave something to their wedding and they just turned around and gave it to us and forgot to take the card out and everything.
Oh, man.
Yeah. Unless it was one of these. Now, it's entirely possible somebody wedding hopped. I don't know.
Somebody did it to you.
I don't know. But Dan Wally, you're right. Scott's white privilege stories. Absolutely. This was us. This was us flaunting our inability to be caught. Like, if I'd have gone into those weddings, let me just tell you what would have happened in 1985, 86, 87. If I'd have done these weddings and I was a person of color, forget about it. They would have noticed because there was no other black people there. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Yes. So, yeah, absolutely. It was a little
point. These two guys kind of stand out. Did you invite them?
Exactly. So, anyway. Although my I did have an Asian friend go with me, but we have lots of Asians here in Utah. We have lots of everybody. It's just, you're right. I got away with it because we were a certain type.
Damn.
And we did it. Anyway, the point is, now I move us to the story about a serial wedding crasher. Okay.
Ooh.
So now
cereal.
We bring
it. So it's Cap'n Crunch.
It's all Cap'n Crunch, Cinnamon Lucky. Toast Crunch, all the Rock crunches.
Bandit. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
All the crunches. Honey, nut Cheerios,
honey, bunches of Cheerio Crunch. No, that doesn't exist. Serial wedding crasher allegedly stole gifts from more than a dozen couples in three states. Now, we never went this far.
Wow.
A woman captured on surveillance camera near an unsuspecting couple's wedding gifts as a suspect in more than a dozen thefts since 2017. See, she just didn't know when to quit. We were done by the time senior year rolled around. Newlyweds Madison and John Sharkazik. I don't know how to say that name.
Yeah, Sekerzik.
Ooh, I wouldn't mess with that. See, that sounds like Armenian mobsters or something.
It's the only wedding where the groom is wearing a red tracksuit and a bunch of gold chains.
Yeah, you got to be careful. Anyway, this lady's approaching the gift table. She stole the stuff. This couple's not alone. Inside Edition. They still exist. Holy shit.
Wow.
They spoke to five couples that say the same woman has also targeted their weddings. Police say Sandra Henson, age 54, is suspected of wedding thefts in three different states, Tennessee, Mississippi, and Alabama. We'd never do this in the era of like everything has a camera.
Yeah.
Never do this.
For sure. Yeah. For sure.
Not that you should do it anyway. I mean, like, I'm telling you, it was the folly of my youth. All right. We were just being dumb nuts. Everyone is when they're kids, and I'm not trying to make excuses, but I think we would have been more hesitant if ring cameras and cell phones and all the stuff we have today.
Sure.
No
every
way.
Hotel camera, every hallway and lobby fully loaded with cameras. Yeah.
You could say that second wedding, we neither took gifts nor left gifts. We only took one and left one.
You did both. You took a gift and left it. You could say the opposite.
Yeah, but
you
it's still the plural of the riddle.
Oh, you're correct. Cause that's the whole,
that's the
that
whole
horrible,
thing.
Horrible,
so if I said now I neither took gift nor left gift. Yeah, that I'm bringing it all back up again. A terrible, stupid thing.
Yeah. Let's never bring up the plums again.
Yeah. May it never happen again. Anyway, so this is all she's in trouble now. I think she probably just did one too many. I mean, if she's doing it since 2017, that's how many years now? 4 years? 3 years? Mm-hmm. 4 years. Four years.
Wow.
That's weird. Isn't that weird? 4 years?
That is 4 years of stealing.
She got caught stealing when she was 54. All right. Well, let's
just
see.
Just a simple fact, when I want a wedding gift and I don't want to pay for it.
Very nice. I couldn't think of the cadence of that song, but you nailed it.
Uh-huh.
All right. Elon Musk in the news. Now, I'd like to preface this by saying that I tweeted this and said there's this exact story where he quotes, his quote is about his Mars landing efforts, taking people to Mars. He said, yeah, a bunch of people will probably die. Yeah. I put a tweet that said, sign me up. And what I actually meant by that was, I'd go to Mars. Like, that's it. That's all I meant.
Yeah. Yeah.
But the Elon Musk stands.
People like put you on a watch list now?
The Elon Musk stands out there, dude. The guys and gals who back that dude in a cultish-like way, mm-hmm, as if he is freaking South African Jesus. They are jumping all over me going, people die in every major space thing. He's just being honest. I'm like, that's not my point. I'm actually want to go, yeah, even if I'm one of the, yeah, people that die. I get it. Right. And then somebody else says, think of the Apollo landings. People died to make those. I know. I get it. Calm down, Elon Musk worshipers.
Wow.
Also,
what a weird
people worship sucks. They're all a bunch of crypto loving Elon Musk making out people who just can't. You can't take a word of negativity about Elon Musk. I happen to think he's fine. Whatever. Yeah. He's this eccentric psycho who has some cool ideas, but and a ton of money. But that's not enough for me to worship
inside
him. Right.
Listen, I want my next car will probably be a Tesla. I'll just say it right now.
Same. I love those cars are awesome. SpaceX is awesome. You're
that
just looking for fights.
Car tunnel.
Yeah.
That slow moving car tunnel in Las Vegas is awesome.
They're just looking for fights.
Yeah.
So go take it somewhere else. I'm not here to fight. I want to go on that trip. That's my whole point. Yeah. It wasn't me being sarcastic going, oh, sign me up if there's going to be death. That's not what I was doing. Boy, they really got up my cheese the other day. And I got emails and all kinds of stuff.
Wow.
Elon Musk is not a god. He's not even a demigod. He's a dude what has a ton of money and he's pretty smart. That's it. All right.
Okay.
The point is, he says a bunch of people will die. And he's right. They will. A lot of people will die.
This is it's probably a one-way trip.
Well, yeah.
For
people. They're going to die anyway. Like,
they
live to 100, they'll die.
Yeah.
But
this whole Mars thing, it's a god-awful small affair.
Yeah. Dan Wally says he's cunning, not smart. An interesting distinction there.
Wow.
I just think he's a bad choice for hosting SNL. That's all I think.
I know. What is the reasoning behind that? It's hard. It's bad enough when they bring sports.
Yep.
When they bring athletes on because they don't know comic timing. They don't know delivery. They can't do anything but read a teleprompter. And I can't imagine what it's going to be like with Elon Musk.
We'll see.
A guy who thinks he's way funnier than he probably is.
Yeah. He still thinks that's what she said jokes are funny, I think.
He still thinks smoking pot with Joe Rogan's funny.
Yeah, he thinks that's
pretty
funny.
No, I'm kidding. Don't send your hate mail to me.
Yeah, leave it. Leave Brian out of this. Don't give him a hard time. I'm already filled in all your weirdness. I'm just saying he's fine. I'm not here to take on your Jesus. Let him be your Jesus. Right. I'll be over here with not him as my Jesus. Okay.
I do like the whole description here. His whole phrase. You might die. It's going to be uncomfortable and probably won't have good food.
Yeah.
I don't know. Just a really unusual cluster of things to dissuade you.
Yeah.
Well, you might die. Plus, the food's not going to be very good.
Maybe he's funnier.
It's kind of like Casa Bonita.
Yeah, basically. There you go. He just described
you might die. It's Casa probably going to be uncomfortable and there won't be good food.
There you go. Or some of the buffets in Vegas. Some of those are a little sketchy. Anyway, that's your news today, and good luck to Elon Musk as he hasn't done it yet. He hosts it next week, is it, or sometime soon? Or
yeah, a week from this coming Saturday, so 2 weeks basically.
Okay, all right.
Him and Miley.
I'm sure it'll go well. Oh, Miley Cyrus. Hey y'all. I've got a new song I did.
Hey, y'all.
Hey. She has such a weird low voice. All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, Justin Robert Young will be here. We're going to talk about the political science behind redistricting. There was some big news yesterday about what that means. And I don't know anything about that, so I'm actually kind of curious. I have questions. We'll find out more when we get to him for our weekly political segment with Justin Robert Young.
Yeah.
Brian, we need a song, though, before we can do that. What do you got?
Well, I got a song for you. How about something along the lines of old Red Hot Chili Peppers style? When it was kind of, they were rocking, they were throwing rap in there, and it wasn't quite as melodramatic as Under the Bridge.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. Let's go back to like stuff like Real Men Don't Kill Coyotes and Higher Ground and stuff like that. This is a group called Igloo and Hartley, I-G-L-U and Hartley, H-A-R-T-L-Y. They have a brand new single that just came out last week. This is Cheetah, and didn't even think about our whole Cheetah, Chester the Cheetah discussion. But anyway,
still works.
This was co-produced by the guy, Mark Needham, who did The Killer, who worked with The Killers, Imagine Dragons, and Walk the Moon. Oh, really, nice. Really good stuff.
Yeah.
Here's Cheetah by Igloo and Hartley.
If it's too far away, then it can't have existed. Too much to say, then it's too hard to listen to a story of a few sent on their own past. Went through a whole lot, but tried to hide away the past. When the memories we made came up for air, had to push them back down, cause it didn't seem fair. Had the world in the hands, it was such a quick moment, then the world took it back, and we gotta keep going. Gotta close down and take some hits. Saw the only clear option was to change the shit. Separate from the love, trade it for the dark. Stand up tough, a bear lies from the heart up. We turn it back, but it only took a minute. Face to face, get a set, best friends don't finish up. But we didn't let the world feel the cold. After digging in the hole, 10 years flew by. Suddenly so clear, the truth standing together, we know it's time to finally go. Days when the world turned cold, someone had to pay. Tricked up, pitfalls, got locked away. Fists up, get tough, got a love for pain. So many years burned by, no fuel on empty. Had to lay awake, dreams fade so gently. Till there's nothing left but the jack in my hand. Spill it down the drain, but we back at it again. Through stormy weather, not a day went by when we didn't get better, yeah. Bombs fall in between, lovers come and go like bedtime dreams. But some dreams don't die, no matter how hard you push them by. And you're back to play by the light of the moon, by the light of the moon.
Tell me that you're
Hey, you guys, let's take a minute and talk about our friends at Blue Chew. Today's episode sponsored by Blue Chew. Look, it's been a hell of a year. Personally, I feel like I've aged 12 years over the last 12 months. And if you're like me, you're feeling your age more than you used to. I guess that's true. Especially in the bedroom. It's time to snap out of it. Spring is here, and it's time to get sprung with Blue Chew. That's right. Blue Chew is a unique online service that delivers the same active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, but in chewable form at a fraction of the price. Blue Chew's tablets help men achieve better erections to combat all forms of erectile dysfunction. Blue Chew is an online prescription service, so no visits to the doctor's office, no awkward conversations, no waiting in line at the pharmacy, and it ships right to your door in discreet packaging. Everyone's favorite packaging. The process is simple. Sign up at bluechew.com. That's EW.com. So like blue, like the color blue, chew like you're chewing it, .com. Consult with one of their licensed medical providers, and once you're approved, you'll receive a prescription within days. The best part, it's all done online. Their licensed medical professionals and providers will work with you to find the right ingredient and strength for your prescription. Don't like swallowing pills? No problem here. Because you don't have to, you chew them. Blue Chew's sildenafil and tadalafil, I know I'm saying those wrong, tablets are completely chewable, and they're made right here in the USA. And they prepare and ship them direct, so it's cheaper than a pharmacy. So, if you could benefit from some extra confidence when it comes time to perform, wink, wink, visit bluechew.com for details and important safety information. We got a deal for you guys. Try Blue Chew for free when you use our code TMS at checkout. Just pay $5 shipping. That's bluechew.com, promo code TMS, to receive your very first month free. And we thank Blue Chew for helping us out today.
I do not accept this.
Nova, let's go see the Earth.
The Morning Stream. They mostly come in the morning. Mostly.
All right, we're back, everybody. Welcome back to the program. Brian, that band again song slash.
That band again is Igloo and Hartley, and the song is Cheetah.
Nice. Cheetah. Wasn't he a tiger?
Cheetah.
He was a tiger.
It was a tiger, Scott.
The best part of that is your line, because it's so, how do I put this? I can hear you say it.
I don't laugh at it. I am able to somehow keep a straight, straight response.
Yeah, it's kind of hard to explain, but I do love it. All right, calling up our pal Justin Robert Young, who I guess has finished his two studios are all like running and looking good. So,
ooh, are we going to see the new studio today?
I think we are. Let me play this and we'll find out.
These are their stories.
Oh, I'm terrible with names.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome Justin Robert Young to the program. Oh, that looks like a new studio to me. Look at that.
That studio.
Sexy.
Hello, friends.
Oh, hi.
Hello.
Hey, that's a beautiful backdrop you got going there. What's that about? It's nice.
We're still building, but this is what it is now.
Yeah.
So we have two sets here, the standing set and the sitting set, and this is the sitting set.
There you go. Sitting there, being all city. I like it. And then the standing one, I know we can't look at that right now, but the standing one looked pretty rad. I saw you streaming the other day. It looked real good. So grats on all that.
Yeah. Actually, you want to know what? I don't have my thing to flip it over. But everybody, twitch.tv/JustinRYoung, streaming Wednesday, Thursday, Friday as of now. And we will, you'll be able to see it.
Yeah, it's all very cool.
Streaming live.
I love it. I love it.
Great is that the shirt he's wearing is like we're looking at his stream with his face and the politics logo to the right.
Weird.
So it's like one of those mirrors where you keep looking.
Yeah, I am decked out here with my own merch and my own logo. Yeah. It is a shameless affair right now. Which yeah. I didn't mean to do it, but now that we're here.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with that. It's great.
I like it. The chat room seems to be under the, I guess I'm not hearing as much as they are, but they say you're a little low and they keep saying it over and over.
Yeah, it's a little bit.
Maybe you're a little low.
I just adjusted them.
All right. Turn up a little there, Justin, if you can.
Turn up for what?
However that goes.
Turn up for what?
That was a hot song for 2 minutes.
Hot song for a hot minute.
Turn down for what?
Oh, can you hear me better? Yeah, much better. Yeah, it was turned down for what? You're right. Justin's got the right song, and we had it wrong. Well, anyway, it's good to have you here, and I'm happy to have you back. We had a couple of weeks there. We missed you. You had a thing 2 weeks ago, and then last week the show got smeared, and we ended up doing a whole different thing. So having you back is a pleasant return to normal. And
happy to be on here.
Yeah, it's good to have you here. So I thought we could talk about a thing. You and I talked last night a little bit about it. I saw on the news that there was some switcheroo going on because of census results, which is interesting because I never really knew what the census was for, but now I think I maybe I was told yesterday that census affects.
What did you think the census was for?
I don't know. I thought it was just our way of saying
it's like a national roll call.
Yeah,
just for laughs, like just to see what. Hey, man, what? Just checking in.
Fred Jones, I hear. Okay,
I thought it Marlena was like
Schneider.
Just, I thought it was just like stats, like 5 out of 10 Americans all live in a hut or whatever. You know, like just ways of saying. That we know what's going on, and then we can base policy around that. And I guess districting is that, but I didn't know what actually led to, this many more people have moved to Texas, therefore 2 new reps are going to be there, and these many people left California, so we're taking 2 from them. And I didn't know that at all. Like the census, I guess I now understand why changes to the census is so controversial, because some see certain changes as like, oh, well, that's, you know, a racial divide, or they're making this one change so that, I don't know, people have to answer it in such a way that it creates divisions. And some of those are on racial lines or whatever. And I always thought, why are you all so worried about it? It's just a questionnaire, right? It's just like a survey. So I didn't know all this stuff. They said this was news to me. So I thought we'd have our, you know, resident now living in Texas, now has 2 new representatives, Justin Robert Young, explain this to us.
Yes.
But then he got up and left, so he's not there.
He's done.
Oh, there I'm he is. Here. I'm here. Okay. For whatever reason, you got really, really quiet in my
ear. Oh, that's weird. Okay. Hopefully we're good enough.
Sorry. It's probably because your intro was going on too long.
Zing!
So basically what happens is the census happens once every 10 years, and with those numbers, you determine how many House of Representative, or where the 435, I believe, House of Representative seats are divvied up. Things that have happened for the past, you know, 60 years, 70 years, are trends that people are moving from the Rust Belt and the northern states, Illinois, New York, Ohio, to the South and the West. Florida, Texas, Arizona, North Carolina, and all that. And that's exactly what happened or continued to happen in this reapportionment. That's what they call it. So Montana, Oregon, Colorado, North Carolina, and Florida all gained 1 seat. Mm. Texas gained 2. They were the only state to gain 2 seats in the House of Representatives. Meanwhile, Michigan, Ohio, Pennsylvania, New York, Illinois, and West Virginia all lose 1 seat. I believe that also, for the first time ever, puts Florida as having more congressional districts than New York does.
Oh, wow.
Because they had slowly sort of eroded. But the biggest combo breaker of all of it was that California lost a seat. And they had not lost a seat since ever. Never has that happened in a census or a reapportionment. And that's because of slowing, not declining population, but slowing population. And that was a trend nationwide. We actually had the slowest population growth since the Great Depression. Although some people suggest that that's might not be exactly what happened, but rather, you know, there were some complications with the census last year, up to and including, I don't know if people remember this, but there was a pandemic that made people less likely to answer the door for door knockers, less door knockers that were out there, and less people that were reaching out to record people that they would have otherwise.
Yeah, that was my actually next question, is how do we normally do this? And it sounds like it is a lot of good old-fashioned hand-to-door kind of contact with people. Because
to make up for, yeah, I mean, when you do get the mailing, and if you choose to ignore the mailing, then they come a knocking.
Do they? Yeah. Do they come if I don't mail it back? Will somebody knock on my? I always mail it back, but will someone show up?
Okay. So you probably don't get the knock, but in general, look, less of that was happening than happened in previous decades. Yeah. The other part about this is that, remember, the Electoral College is also determined by how many representatives are in each state plus the senators. So if you contested the 2020 race on these new rules, which will guide the 2024 race and the 2028 race, it would have been a closer race. Democrats would have lost, I think, like a net 6 Electoral College points.
Oh yeah, so there's no gain for them this time, or with these new numbers. And this change happens like now. Do they do like midterm appointments? Do we wait till the next election cycle until somebody's in those new seats in Texas, for example, or how does that work?
What happens now is redistricting. So this was reapportionment. Now comes redistricting. And so since you're really not going to have a lot of big blockbuster political races that will happen in 2021, what I suspect you're going to do is hear a lot about redistricting and a lot about gerrymandering, specifically the idea that these districts are going to be drawn in increasingly comical and ridiculous ways. So the party in power can have a safer district where people are more likely to win. This is where you get those ridiculous districts that look like, you know, the Lacoste alligator or whatever, that don't in any way actually feel like a community, but rather are just cutting out all the suburbs where a certain party's voters tend to be. And that obviously happens mostly in states with one party rule. And in this particular case, we are going to get more Republican redistricted seats than we will Democrats, because Democrats aren't great at winning state houses and governor's mansions.
Interesting. So, okay, I didn't realize this. So in my head I went, oh, well, this means that Texas went Republican anyway, so they still would, because now there's two more and they still would. Like, it wouldn't have made a big difference. But I didn't realize that. This shows how stupid I am about this. I didn't realize that two more seats meant more electoral votes for the state.
Yes.
That makes sense, though, I guess. Now,
indeed, it's how the electoral votes are decided.
It's literally the whole thing, yeah.
it's what it's based on.
Yeah, I guess I had it in my head that it was done differently, but I guess that makes
not
sense.
Not like by a pie-eating contest. No. To see which state is the best at doing that.
Purchased. I'll bid $100,000 for one more seat, please. Yeah,
I'd be all into pie-eating contest. That's a great idea. Let's do that. I want to see Ted Cruz go hard on a freaking cherry pie pile. Well,
Colorado would do so poorly.
Well, Texas is a very interesting state when it comes to this, because part of the reason why they do have a growing population is because people from other states are moving into Texas. And that means that you have some of the bluer areas of Texas getting bluer, up to and including Austin, Houston, the Dallas suburbs are getting bluer. Some of the areas are getting redder, including on the border, which oddly enough are majority Latino districts, many of them. But the question now for these district or for these state houses and governor's mansions is, how do you determine which district you want to make solid blue and which ones are you trying to shave off of, because over the next 10 years, you believe that they are going to be solid red. So what you're going to wind up seeing is that, like, all of Austin will be one district, and it's not going to get split up.
Yeah. It's like they're playing multiplayer Bubble Bobble. Do you know that game? So it's like,
of course, yeah, I love Bubble Bobble.
It's a little bit like,
who doesn't?
It's bust a move here in the States, everybody. But basically, you if you're playing multiplayer, you both have a chance to try to get as many of this little chunk here if you can. But if this guy shoots it before you do, now you got to shoot a blue that's going to hit a green, which will not create a chain reaction. Like, it feels like that's the game. How do we, like, everyone says, oh, it's one party does gerrymandering, the other doesn't. But it feels like they both kind of have to go to create, like, as much coverage as possible. and to differing results?
I mean, their goal is, and not all states do this. Some states either have mixed government, meaning you have a governor of one party and a state house controlled by the other party, or you have independent commissions that draw these districts. And so therefore, that's not kind of done by political actors. But those that are done by political actors are majority Republican. Right. And they are in states that have expanding seats, although not all of them. West Virginia lost a seat, and all of their representatives are from the Republican Party. So what you're likely going to see is, over the next year, a Republican incumbent versus Republican incumbent primary.
Oh, wow.
Because they're both, one district is eliminated, and so now, you know, it's a musical chairs. They're both going to fight for the open chair.
Oh, wow. That doesn't happen very often, right? That's kind of an unusual thing. I mean, I know some
very
people run...
Very unusual, yeah, because otherwise, like, in Ohio, for example, the Republicans control the state house and the governor's mansion, and they have one less seat. So guess which district is probably going to get eliminated? Yeah. One of the Democratic ones. Yeah. And that's actually a funny thing, too. Tim Ryan is he is a representative from Youngstown, Ohio. It looks like his district might be on the chopping block, which may or may not have been something in his mind when he decided last week that he is going to run for Senate. So you have a lot of things that are kind of shifting and motivations that are there based on this reapportionment, which in general, people usually don't give a rat's ass about.
Well, and that's my question. Is that why I feel like this is the first time I'm hearing about it? Or is this common every time? Do we always have a shift around like this? And is it significant when it does? Or is this feel different or is different?
Well, obviously there's more shift.
Yeah.
There's more criticism of this census than we've had in a while.
Yeah.
And I think legitimate criticism, because again, there was a pandemic, and that is something that, you know, needs to be kind of understood as we go forward. But like, in general, no, this always happens, and nerds care about it. The difference is that we're still in a period where people really care about politics. You know, who knows how long it'll last. I feel like it's on the wane. We're at a point now where most people will kind of not care about politics in the next 2 years or so, until the presidential election happens, and then they'll pretend they care again.
we just had 4 years of everybody caring a lot about politics. We need a break. We need a little bit of a...
I think, yeah, in general, it's probably healthy, you know, but it is funny when people pretend that they always care, which I think, you know, I think by and large, we had a lot of people that, you know, they liked yelling. I don't know how much they cared. Yeah. They certainly liked yelling.
Yeah.
I like yelling about politics. Does that count?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, I will admit,
I think they liked freaking out about it.
I will admit, prior to the Trump administration, I didn't care much. And then I yelled a lot for 4 years. So so I get it. I'm one of those. I'm totally that guy, and I'm a lot less concerned about daily political things than I used to be. But I like,
which is funny, because a lot of the same problems that people were hyperventilating about are still going.
Oh, yeah.
In fact, many have gotten worse.
Yeah. Some are worse. Some are, some are better. But for the most part, you know, we're also in a time where, you know, I now get to hear everybody who, hates Biden as much as I hated Trump, talk like that for 4 years, and then we get to have that whole rigmarole again, and then we probably end up with another party for the next four, or maybe the next, maybe not, maybe it's eight. But my point is, like,
we got a long way to go until then, though. We got a California recall, which is now official or semi-official. There's like one more little technical step, but now it has officially been certified as having enough signatures. So we are going to see whatever turns out there, as Caitlyn Jenner has now officially thrown her hat into the ring. And then, of course, we got midterms coming up that will involve some very interesting folks. And we might see some really curious challenges, including maybe even Chuck Schumer in New York. Both Marco Rubio and Ron DeSantis are running in Florida, but that's next year. I guess we also have the New York mayoral a race, where it looks like, you know, nobody's going to catch up to Andrew Yang, who's become a juggernaut in New York City politics.
Yeah, Yeah, that's an interesting twist. Caitlyn Jenner running again. Are we sure it's not just getting back to the track and field roots that she was into in her youth? No, not that. Okay, really
yeah,
running
kind
for
of
governor.
Running again? Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah, great. I don't know. I don't know where the governor's mansion is on the decathlon, but we'll see. We'll see. You know, that's a very interesting. Well, I don't know. I don't know if it's particularly interesting. Like, Caitlyn Jenner to me is like probably the third most politically viable person in her own family.
Yeah.
I don't quite know what her political acumen is.
Yeah.
And you know, but the one thing that you have to remember about the recall is that you don't need a ton of votes to win. The recall is a two-step ballot where California residents will say, I want Gavin Newsom recalled. And then the next page is a gigantic list of names that they choose who they want to replace them.
Yeah.
So if the vote is positive on the first question and Gavin Newsom is ousted, now it's just a raw numbers race on that second page. So you don't need anywhere close to a majority of the population. I believe Schwarzenegger won with 4 million votes, which is not a lot. And it's also going to be a fairly low turnout election. Although this will get a ton of national attention because it's the only thing happening this year.
Right.
Yeah, that's true. Well, if it comes down to, let's say it's a close race and it comes down to who has the most Wheaties box experience? I think Caitlyn Jenner's got this sewn up. I think we're set. You'll be all ready to go. There you go, everybody. 1980s reference. Woo! All right.
We had a lot of them, too. We went deep on the well of Caitlyn Jenner references.
We really did, which is great. Today's been all about that. This is super interesting stuff. And if you want more on the periphery of this and everything else going on in the world of daily and weekly politics, check out all of Justin's stuff. Justin, anything in particular you'd like people to be putting their eyeballs on?
The new Twitch studio is coming along. So go ahead and check me out. twitch.tv/JustinRYoung. And of course, px3podcast.com is where you can get the politics podcast, including, episodes coming out this week where we're going to grade, Biden's first 100 days and, do a whole lot more. If you like what I said here, there's more information on this and, the leaked audio with John Kerry and the Iranian foreign minister that we're going to get into on the episode that'll come out tomorrow.
I missed that. All right, cool. Well, I'll be checking you out to find out more right there. Justin R. Young on Twitter as well. Everybody wave to Justin. Bye.
Right. See you, Gerbs.
Oh, shit.
The jury will now retire.
I always get to play it. I forget to play it.
You know, you don't have to play it. He's heard it. You don't have to play it while he's on.
Yeah, but, I know. Boy, some strong feelings in there about Caitlyn Jenner in the chat today.
Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah, some real real divisive thoughts from different factions. Mm-hmm. Well, good luck to her. To me, it sounds like a no way in hell kind of thing, because I think she's running as a Republican. I just don't know how you do that and be transgender and like get Republican votes. I don't know how that happens.
Yeah, exactly. It's
I don't know. I don't want to get into the brain of Republican Californian voters.
Right.
It just seems it seems like it's not going to happen. I don't know. I could be wrong.
Who knows? I think I'm with you. I think it's very, very unlikely.
Seems low. But good luck. All right. Hey, patreon.com/TMS is how you can support this show. You like this show? Well, darn it. Get in here and enjoy it more by spending a little cash.
Do you, punk?
Yeah, that's right. We'll do you. Here's the thing. If you do it, then every day you get bonus pre-show and post-show content every single day, along with the full episode, always ad-free. And at the end of the week, you get bonus content like TMSPM. Sometimes it's special stuff, but usually one of those. And you don't get that any other way. This week, we're doing a playdate, so it's a little bit different. But on Saturday, we're doing the playdate. But so many good things. Art in the mail, rad stuff, digital stuff, all sorts of stuff. Check it out. Patreon.com/TMS. And finally, frogpants.com/TMS. And while we're all this MS, let's, Brian, promote the MS ride you're doing again.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. So at the end of June, I'm going to be doing a big, stupid bike ride, but it's for a good cause. The only thing stupid about the bike ride is that I'm doing it. The MS 150 ride from Denver up to Berthoud and back. That's happening, and we need your funds. We're doing a fundraising thing, and we have to raise funds as part of a fundraiser. It's weird how that whole thing works. Yeah. If you visit tiny.cc/CovervilleBike2021, that's CovervilleBike2021. You can help raise money, or help me raise money for this thing, and appreciate everybody who's donated so far. And don't worry, I'm still doing the Alzheimer's thing also in June, so keep an ear out for that. Can be doing another cover-thon. Although what we did last time, where basically I just did Jackbox for 8 hours, mm-hmm. that was just fine.
That worked out good.
No complaints about that at all. Yeah.
That time goes quick when you're playing a game.
It does. Yeah. Not so much when you're waiting for a 3.5 minute song to end so you can play another 3.5 minute song.
Yeah, it's just a different kind of cadence, so I feel you on that.
That's right.
Like when we play for 2 hours for playdates, it's so fast. I feel like we barely got there. But anyway, so more on that as we get closer to it. And let's see, for me, there's the Boop Show today at 3:30, so if you want some good old-fashioned indie game coverage, today will be your day, so check that out at 3:30 Mountain Time right here at frogpants.tv. That'll be me and Brian Dunaway talking indie games, and I think that's going to do it. Send your emails and your feedback to themorningstream@gmail.com. That's themorningstream@gmail.com. That's it. We're going to play a song now, so yes. I hope y'all planned on that, because that's what you're getting. So, Brian, present it, please.
By the way, I did try to use the Mevo to stream on the bike. And this thing is just not geared for the bouncing and stuff of the frame. I'm gonna have to invest in a GoPro or something. This will be a good travel camera because I can throw this in my bag and have this with me when
I need those
to.
700 or the GoPro 7s or whatever they are, Hero 7. Those are not so bad price wise these days.
They're not so bad. Yeah. No, exactly. So probably have to do that.
Sure.
Oh, Luke Sightwalker says, I watched that yesterday. You started out good coverage, but it went off air after a few minutes. Yeah, the other problem was that I forgot to fully charge this thing, so it became a 10-minute video. I actually never saw the video because I don't retain videos on Twitch, I don't know what how it looked to if they were able to hear me breathing or whatever. If you have recommendations for what camera I should get for my ride streaming, then let me know.
They have a Hero 7 for you're still going to be paying around $200. It looks like it's not terrible, but
yeah. Well, Bagheera says get the 360. I don't know if I want
360. Oh, 360 camera,
a 360 camera. Yeah, cool. You don't want to see me hunched over my bike and bike shorts.
Oh, contraire. I do want to see
nobody wants to see that.
All right. Well, we'll see.
All right.
Goes.
Let's go with this. Oh, thank you, Baggy. Jeez Louise. Yeah, I'll click that link after I'm done teasing this song.
Sure.
Got dual emails or dual requests for the same date from a couple, and it's just so awesome. This one, so let's see, Tara Hatcher wrote in and said, hi, y'all. My husband, Chad, the drone guy, has been an avid longtime listener. It's been a crazy year thanks to COVID and long-term symptoms. Chad has been so great through all of it, and I want to wish him a happy anniversary on his favorite podcast. Thanks so much, signed Tara.
Aww.
Chad separately wrote me and said, I know it's a late request, but my amazing wife, Tara, and I are celebrating 25 years of marriage on April 27th. I would love it if you played Chris Cornell's cover of Nothing Compares to You. Thank you for all that you do. So you guys are awesome with your two requests, your little secret requests for each other. So we're going to play both songs simultaneously over the top of each other because it'll sound awesome.
Yeah, all Chad. What's the name of the band? I can't think of the band. Chad.
Nickelback?
Yeah, Chad Nickelback music. You can take any of their two tracks and lay them together and they sound great together. So
that's awesome. Actually, God, it would be really cool to hear a mashup of We Belong by Pat Benatar and Nothing Compares to You. That actually would be really cool. Yeah. However, I'm going with Chris Cornell's cover of Nothing Compares to You, which was Chad's request, only because I never really plugged this album. Last year, they released a whole collection of Chris Cornell covers called No One Sings Like You Anymore, Volume 1. It's all covers by Chris Cornell. Some of them are new versions or versions other than the ones we're familiar with that he also recorded. So it's kind of like getting new versions of things that he recorded before.
Give me the name of that one more time. No One Sings Like You.
It's called No One Sings Like You Anymore.
I got it.
And that's a song lyric from, what song is that for? No One Sings Like You Anymore.
Is it actually
a song lyric from another song? Yeah.
Oh, here it is. Yeah. I didn't know this existed. You know how much I love Chris Cornell. I'm super into
this. Yeah. So I know. And you're going to love this. This is his cover of a song that was originally written for a band called The Family. And if you go and search out the Family version of this, it's really good. It was written by Prince for a band that he was involved with producing called The Family. Then, of course, Sinead O'Connor covered it. But right now you're going to hear Chris Cornell cover it. And I think it might be my favorite version of the song.
Really good.
Here is Nothing Compares to You.
Oh, that's awesome. And by the way, Chad, I found one sound file with the name Chad in it. So we're just going to play it.
Hey, Scott, this is Chad again.
I think that's Chad. I'm pretty sure that's him.
Oh, really? Our actual Chad.
Our actual Chad. So, Chad, I can't remember if that's you.
Hey, Scott.
If that's you, let us know. I don't know for sure. Anyway, here's that song.
Oh, yeah, right. It is. Black Hole Sun is the song that the lyric that's got No One Sings Like You Anymore.
Oh, yeah. Black Hole Sun, won't you come? Oh, my gosh.
Exactly.
I'm going to listen to Chris Cornell all day. All right, here it is. Thanks for that. Happy anniversary, you guys. And everybody else, we'll see you tomorrow for another edition of TMS.
It's been 7 hours and 16 days since you took your love away. I go out every night and sleep all day since you took your love away. Since you've been gone, I can do whatever I want. I can see whoever I choose. I can eat my dinner in a fancy restaurant, but nothing can take away. Been so lonely without you here, like a bird without a song. Nothing can stop these lonely tears from falling. Tell me, where did I go wrong? I control my reminds me of you. Went to the doctor.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network.
Frog Pants Network.
Get more shows like this at frogpants.com.
Wear it on your dominant arm.
Yep.
Wear it on your dominant arm.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.